This is Phil Rowe on Cambridge 105 Radio.
And we have our guests in the studio. I've had a little preamble and a nice chat with them anyway. Cider with Rosie is a wonderfully vivid memoir of a childhood in a remote Cotswold village. A village before electricity or cars. A timeless place on the verge of change. Growing up amongst the fields and woods and characters of the place when the rural traditions of past centuries were being swept aside in the path of 20th century progress. Laurie Lee, the author, depicted a world that was both immediate and real and belonging to a now distant past. The book goes through the changes of the village there in Gloucestershire. He grew up very nearby to the village, but by the age of three, he settled there and wrote a book. Many of you would have read it probably as a teenager. Being acted upon, though, in the sense of we have two of the real live actors that haven't replaced you with androids just yet. You're not on autopilot. Martin Hunt is here right now. Wonderful. Welcome, both of you. Rosemary Easton is here for the first time, actually.
Thank you.
Hello.
We've had the St. John's Players along before. Holiday Island was your last production, and so some listeners think, yes, I've heard from them before. But welcome back in some cases, and welcome for the first time, Rosemary.
Thank you.
Now, first of all, we'll get through how you got to the additions. Now, I know you work very much ahead of time. You're already looking at what you might be putting on in 13 months' time. You've still got two other productions in the pipe. We might mention one of those later, but obviously we're going to promote what you're doing for half term, because that's be the part of the week that you'll be putting this one on, over at the Townley Memorial Hall. I guess these days, Rosemary, you're playing a granny. Do you enjoy playing the older parts? Do you find that you're able to get the work? I know it's amateur.
You're absolutely right. Sometimes it's quite difficult for the more mature actress in the Cambridge area because there aren't the parts. But Granny Trill that I'm playing is absolutely wonderful. She's such a colourful character, and she's quite spunky from her youth. So she's lovely.
She's feisty.
Yes.
And when I said amateur, I didn't mean mere amateur. I meant a capital A, very much to amateur, of course. You have both the St. John's Players, but you are, when I say serious, I always think of Shakespeare. You have got some parts that you've been playing in Shakespeare. I think you've got some summer season runs to do as well in Shakespeare.
Yes, Richard III later on, which is lovely. It's a two-week run, which most actors in the area don't get 2 weeks.
It keeps you very busy, Rosemary, I guess.
It does, yeah. It's good for the brain.
I'd imagine. You know, I've never done acting. I've done broadcasting, presenting for many years, and it's something I've never really turned to. I've done a little bit of television in my time, but never really anything dramatic. I want to apply as a job as an extra or something, but I'm probably too tall for the screen. I'm 1.85 or 6'1.5 or something like that. I'm a pretty tall guy this side of the microphone. Martin, amazing. I know Rosemary takes short shrift of anybody who can't remember all their lines, but you've got pages and pages and pages of lines to remember.
I have a fair few, yes, indeed. It was a challenge, let's put it that way.
How many pages in all? In the script. I mean, if you still use physical copy. It's the best way of learning your lines, isn't it? A4 and turn the page.
Yeah, I don't know how many pages are in the script. I mean, it's sort of a very standard length sort of play. The way I do it, I record. I'm a big one for recording lines, so I will sit down and record all my lines, and then the thing is I can just listen to them whenever. So all those fun jobs like cleaning bathrooms or sort of whatever, I can just have the lines going and just keep listening and listening and listening and hope they sort of stick.
Maybe an MP3 player or something.
Use those as well. Yep, MP3 player, in the car, on the bike even. So it's just to keep it sort of going and try not to panic when I haven't learnt it all perfectly on first listening. Try to think, I've still got a little bit of time.
And, of course, you can lock out the boys as well, and the family in the house. You know, there's all sorts of screams and guffaws going on somewhere. Dad is in his own little zone, learning
his lines. Don't bother me. No, I can't do that now, sorry. Yeah.
And it probably makes cleaning the bath just go by just that little bit quicker as well.
Wouldn't quite go that far. But it is better, no. It's a good, you know, it's just, it's kind of using the time, which I'm doing something else, so it's just adding it in and...
So the production has an intermission, presumably.
Yes.
And the length of the performance is around?
Well, I think we'll be about 2 hours, perhaps 2:15, including the intermission. We're sort of getting into the final rehearsals now, so things are just sort of coming together and the pace is coming up and we're sort of learning. So it's quite tricky at the moment to fully judge it 100%, but we you know, we just seem to be coming into it quite nicely.
Yeah. This production is quite a bit longer, isn't it, in terms of the number of cast that are involved with this?
Oh, yes.
25 of you, I believe.
That's right.
And auditions, when did they start for this one?
So the auditions were back in the autumn of last year. I mean, we have quite a short rehearsal period because the last play was, what, just end of October, start of November. And then you're into sort of, you know, rehearsals twice a week and into February. Mm. We're kind of constrained by the half terms. That's when we can get the hall. So,
but it's also useful for you, because I guess kids, because it's very much a family performance. You're encouraging the kids to come along. And, of course, they don't have to get up early for school the next day. So
I would say older children. But just be careful. There are one or two themes which you might want to be wary of. Let's, I suppose it'd probably be like a 12 would be the equivalent of a film, wouldn't it?
Sort
of.
Yes.
You bring up longer. If they come along with younger, bring your parents and just...
Boys of the Village at one stage accost a young lady, a slightly larger than a life young lady, almost physically a little bit bigger as well. It doesn't go anywhere, but they there is a certain...
That bit I don't think is actually in the play, happily.
No.
There's obviously, the book is obviously a lot longer, has a lot more than a play can put in it. But there are, you know, one or two parts which are just...
We won't say dark, but a little bit...
Yeah.
Less than savoury.
That's a nice description.
Yes, isn't it? Having remembered, years ago, the book and a lot of the book anyway. But it's about summer days, village life, Gloucestershire village, just outside Cirencester, which is, I think, where Laurie Lee was brought up. In fact, there's a little story that Rosie herself, the character was, of course, a real-life lady. She died just before her 100th birthday, just a couple of years ago. 99 and 360. She didn't quite make it, but she always liked to celebrate her birthday with, of course, a cider.
And why not?
Why not?
So this performance is not from the stage. Now, I know a little bit about the Towning Memorial Hall, in that behind you've got a balcony, almost like smaller than a gallery, but it's where you'd probably do the famous Romeo and Juliet.
Yes.
Probably some of you popped up there during Not Your Part and done Wherefore Art Thou Romeo, up the back there. The audience, of course, face the front, the main stage itself, but this time, it's only the second time you've changed things around.
That's
actually going almost a amongst the audience, and you're going to be at floor level. You've got a rotunda, if you like, a circular amphitheatre.
Yeah, I mean, we did it. The first time we did it last year was for Railway Children, which the play is written to interact with the audience, so it worked really well. You really had an intimacy from an acting point of view. You felt a fantastic intimacy with the crowd. You know. So, and again, I think this play lends it to it. So my character is very much the narrator, and I'm sort of talking to the audience and describing scenes, which are then performed for you by the huge cast. And it works really well because you've got that intimate feeling, these sort of series of vignettes and sort of episodes of life.
Yes, the audience are really going to be able to take these characters to their hearts because they are so close to them. And the fact that the characters are moving round... they're moving chairs, making buses, making merry-go-rounds, the sort of watching the parochial church tea. So the audience are going to really be able to see the actors, really feel for them and notice their little foibles, their characteristics, and I think really love the characters they're seeing, or maybe on occasions disapprove.
And... of course, you never try and get your back to the audience. You never want to really stare at an individual in the audience either. The two golden rules of acting, that much I do know. I know if you do film over there, they say stare down the bottle, which, of course, is the lens of the camera, which you never do. I think Sir Michael Caine said, always just have one eye maybe slightly at the lens of the camera, but certainly the bias of your face should be away from the audience. Is it more difficult to do when you are, if you like, working in a semicircle?
No, I don't think so. You have to be conscious of the fact that you're not just standing on a stage with people in front of you. I actually find it more enjoyable in my little bit, for example, when I'm sitting on a stool, so I have to, some of the boys, the young family around me, and I have to be turning around, and I'm always aware of the shadow to one side of me of the older Laurie watching me and what I'm doing. So it's actually... helps, it really does, to engage and almost sort of look round, as you do in life. You, when you're in a room with people, you're turning round, and so, yes, it's just have to get used to it.
I think that's a good point. It is actually, in a lot of ways, can be more natural, because when you're up on stage, you're thinking, right, sort of half turn myself so that I'm visible to the audience, but I would never stand like this in real life. And here we are in the round, and it is, yes, I'm turning around and talking to people, and so in some ways it's more natural, in some ways it's easier, but you definitely do have to be conscious. You've got an audience all around you. You need to, be talking to them all the time. And I think the directors have been very clever with some of the staging. So we have part of the action happens in a school with sort of sets of chairs, and they've deliberately made this sort of plan where there's sort of seven chairs and they're interspersed, one points one way, the other 180 degrees. So therefore the audience is always seeing some of the school, you know, at the time. It's not, a row of backs, that's great, thank you.
So how do you act in the scenes? The first chapter of the book is about Laurie Lee's very young life. It was a school with a wooden partition, the younger boys or the younger children on one side, and the olders were on the other side of the building. But of course you're very much through a few decades, the pair of you, in terms of your age. Who's playing the younger parts? Or are you sort of, how are you working the sort of child's life of Laurie Lee?
Well, there is a younger Laurie Lee, and his family, or his siblings, are the actors their own age, so yes, and the audience will accept that. You see it. There is a saying that if you tell the audience these two boxes are Elsinore Castle, they'll watch Hamlet quite happily with two boxes, because you've told them. And they're introduced as the brothers and sisters of Laurie. And so therefore the audience know this is who they are. And they're wonderful. You see one of them, the youngest one, lying on the floor, you know, kicking his heels and doing all sorts of the things you'd expect from the young child. So I think the audience will have no problems whatsoever.
There's no real chance either of delivering props, is there, from the wings or the side of the stage or when the lights go down. I know lighting is a real challenge, I guess, for your lighting people, because they've got to spot all the light into a central pool of where everything's happening, in the very much in the centre of the room. So it's a bit different. Any props, really? Just chairs? Working with chairs and using imagination and trying to get the audience to use theirs?
Sort of a chairs and a sort of a trestle table are the main props I can sort of think of. Then obviously lots of smaller props that people bring on and off, but it's good. Going back to the lighting, certainly from the last time we did it, I think it gave a wonderful opportunity to the lighting man to do sort of something different. And I found when we did Railway Children, when the lights came on, it just added another dimension. They added such the warmth, which they always do, but then you had these little pools of light, so he could segment the sort of working area and change the focus, and he could change the colours, and it would just, you know, change the whole feeling. So the lights were wonderfully effective, and I'm thinking it will be again.
I'm sure they will, because Graham likes a challenge, and he'll have been thinking about this for weeks of what he's going to do. So I'm looking forward to seeing the technical rehearsal.
You're being directed, normally each time a new director will take over, maybe a co-director will be promoted, or someone's the waiting in the wings director for next time round. Martin, you're going to be involved after this production, once you've had a little bit of a rest and break. Later on in the year, with auditions starting very soon, in fact, next month, The Lady Killers.
Yes, indeed, yes. We seem to have got into a pattern of co-directing, two people being directing, because it does take, it's an incredible amount of work, the director, because they've got to think of all the production side as well, like props, costumes, sets. It's an enormous task, and the last few productions, it just seems to have worked well when there's two people doing it and working in a team. So I'm directing the next one, as you say, The Lady Killers with Claire. We've done a couple of other shows already, and we just sort of work well together, which is great. And it's a fantastic show, The Lady Killers. It's a great film, and I've seen the play. It's a great play, and a wonderful night out in May if anybody's, you know, wondering what to do at half term.
We'll put some promotions out, actually. People want to go and find out more about the St John's Players, then the website is called is named St John's Players, all one word, the URL.co.uk. Go and search online. If you put St John's Players Cambridge, that will help you if you use one of the search engines. And an appeal, really, for new actors. I'm sure you're always looking to have new cast members. And if you go to auditions, you'll find out that they will be taking place on Monday the 19th and Wednesday the 21st of February. It's at Townley Hall. It's at the Forbourne Centre. That's Home End in Forbourne. That's sort of kind of on the Bolsham side of Forbourne, I suppose, one way of describing it. If you've ever been there to the Rec, which is where they play very muddy games of football almost next door on a Sunday morning. And because you might think, well, The Lady Killers, yes, I've seen that famous Ealing film comedy, but isn't it all men? Well, they will consider that ladies can play the role of certain parts, like Major Courtney and Louis Harvey, a foreign hitman, and also the ex-army major, Major Courtney. It could fit the role of a lady in the production as well, as well as needing lovely Mrs. Wilberforce. By the way, that actor who played in the lead role originally in the she never really had come to film prominence until she played the part. And sadly, she died just a few months, I think, after actually filming that for the Ealing Film Studio, which is sadly missed anyway.
It is such a wonderful film. Yes. And, you know, she is superb. Oh, but that they're all, it's, you know, sir.
Having Professor Marcus, of course.
Yes, yes.
With one very famous actor in the film. We won't give too much more about your production away, but, of course, tickets are available. You can go online, go to the same website, stjohnsplayers.co.uk, and you can, actually go online there to order your tickets for the production. It's going to be taking place between the 13th to the 17th of February, yes, that's during half term. Cider with Rosie is the name, and we've had in the studio with us this morning two of the leading. Martin, are you going to be seen by the by the audience? The public, well, they are the public. The audience, do they see you all the way through?
Oh, they
the
see me all the way through. They will be sick to the back teeth of me, buddy. Yes, I'm there with them the whole way through.
Yeah. Martin Hunt and Rosemary Easton, who's with us here as well. Rosemary, your big section comes up at about sort of 7/10 of the way through, because you're featuring your character.
I think about 60%. Yeah, 60%. Yes. About six of the way into the production. However, I do appear other times as well, as do all the cast. Yes. We've been kept very busy doing all sorts of things, moving chairs and being crowd and
25 of you, you need lots of coordination. Yeah, so well done to you. Director this time, Kieran Toner, is looking after you all on this production.
And Andy still got Dodds.
Andy Dodds as well. As
another, you know, two-person team, which just works well.
Mm-hmm. Credit where credit's due.
Absolutely.
Both of you, thank you so much. Do keep us in touch with what's going on at St John's Place, and maybe we can hear about Lady Killers when the time comes around.
Well, thank you very much for having
us. Thank you. No, thank
doing
you.
Doing it in a theatrical fashion. Martin Hunt and Rosemary Easton there from the St John's Players. Do go along and see this production and support them in Forbourne in just about 3 weeks' time.